It is exactly what you just said, the latter. And you're absolutely correct. In 1992, when we had the first, in terms of recession, and then that there was something about us that caused the recession. There was something off, our internal business was not in order. It was a fiscal issue, stimulated by some collapse of some of our exports. It was an us issue. In 2008, it was an external shock for the global financial crisis. But then we, and hindsight is always, that's why I be very careful. Hindsight is 2020. Looking back at it, the policy response were not quite appropriate. We continue to expand too much on the fiscal in order to mitigate the global financial crisis. And by expanding on the fiscal, and you know what happened then, we had to rely on financing from domestic and central bank. The response was not quite. So we start to create an issue for ourselves. This crisis is again is an external shock. But because prior to this, we had no one, we have fixed most of our domestic issues, put our house in order. And you know, I talk about those, the debt, the fiscal, the reserves, et cetera, et cetera. Put us in a position to not only weather this and provide assistance to the poor and the vulnerable and other people and business, et cetera. It also means that as long as we do not find ourselves in, put ourselves from a fiscal position, and that's why in a position where once the world open up, all fiscal house is no longer in order. You do never want to do that. Or you can do that, it will mean we had back in the 2008 recession, we at between the 4 years following 2008, current expenditure went up by 25%. Well, capital expenditure, which is where you get growth from, fell by 56%, right? So they will switch between current to capital. That is how you will get your house in trouble.
There's one
There.
thing.
So
Sorry, go
once
ahead.
you don't get your house in trouble and you continue to respond in a fiscal prudent manner, focus on capital, providing social support, et cetera, it means that once the world opens up, you are able to take off and take advantage. That is why, yes, it is very rough. Yes, it's a deep recession, but that's why you hear most of us, we're quite optimistic that we can come out of this and have even a better year in 2021 than we had in 2020, because it's not an intrinsic internal structural issue that we are dealing with. We fixed a lot of them prior to this. You understand?
In one sense, Dr. Greenwich, that sounds good, but there's something that doesn't sound right. And I can tell you the part that doesn't sound good. Right. Now, in 1992, 2008, as you said, a lot of these things were self-inflicted. And for me, it should be easier to correct something self-inflicted than things that we don't have control over, like external shock. Like, for instance, our source markets. If our source markets don't get their act together, so let's say the UK or so on. That is where we depend on for a lot of, like, say, tourism. Sometimes we got what is known as the offshore businesses and all these different things, foreign direct investment and so on. If our source markets can all, if they are doing poorly, how can we do well? Even if our house is in order.
So the two things, yes, if our source market is doing poor, how can we do too well? And then second one, if it's intrinsic, it should be easy to fix. These are two separate things. Let me explain. One, if our source market is doing poorly, we can't do well. But I just told you that by this year, the IMF recently got out suggests the world will grow by 5.5%. US will grow up by 5.1, Europe 4.5, Canada 4.5, and I mean 4.1 and UK 4.5. Those are our source market. Even here, the Biden administration saying things are back to Christmas. So they're growing, so we will grow. The other question is that if it is your internal problem, which you face, hey man, you know what it is to get rid of beer belly? You think you get what you want to get rid of beer belly?
I know it's like
You
getting a
think
cool
it
of
don't
it,
because these internal problems between you think it took you think in 2008 when we had credit, like 2009 we had internal problems? No, it takes time to get these bad habits and this and destroy economic fundamentals. Took 10 years. So if you go and put yourself, like, for example, a simple case, because I like the case really that people on someone's talking about. Let's say now in this scenario, you go and commit a recurring expenditure. For some reason, let's say for some reason, I'm not trying to be positive, you go and increase your wages by 10% because you're trying to help people. As opposed to targeting the assistance to people that really need them. Through social programs, and then you say, "No, man, I'm doing that. I can increase rates, everything." But you want to, you say about 10%. When this crisis is over, you got to carry that, man. That ain't coming off so easy. So it has to do with how you respond. You have to be careful that the assistance you are giving is targeted in responding to people and helping those who nobody's left behind. But you do it in a manner that when the economy, your fist is still ready to handle the investments and things that you need. You feeling me?
I'm feeling
you. So contrary to what you might think, an intrinsic problem that you develop is harder to shake off. Just like you bounce on a weight, you could spend, especially if it were wrong, you could spend forever trying to get it off. And you ain't coming out easy.
Right? You needed some good stress, though, and so for some people, it gone. Boom. Bro, start Sunday. Let's take another call. You're on the air. Let's welcome the next caller.
Good morning. Good morning, Mr. Lane.
Good afternoon and welcome, Alvin.
It's afternoon?
Yes, please. 22 minutes afternoon.
Oh, sorry. Good afternoon to you, Mr. Lane, and to Mr. Greenwich. Mm-hmm. Mr. Greenwich, I was full for the last 6 to 9 months, 2 years and 6 months or 9 months. I was told all the time that you were advisor to the government on behalf of the IMF. I can remember a couple months ago, it was announced that you will have an extension to the end of June. Is that true?
Which part is true?
If you leave, then call you say you're not.
Hello. You gonna miss me?
No. Let me get to the point.
I want to know your question.
I only learned now. I only learned now that you are on leave from the IMF, and you are employed by the government of Barbados. I didn't know that before, so I thank you for that information. I want to know if it is true that the leave is over on the end of June.
So
let me move on, because you don't
want to. Hello. So, yes, you're correct. I am on leave, and I am employed here as a consultant to the government of Barbados. And for transparency, and this is all being announced, so there's no secret here. And
okay. My
funding comes from the Caribbean Development Bank as technical assistance. Are you thought you were missing?
Let me move on. In Barbados at the present time, we have a minister, Ms. Cato, Mr. Strong, and the Honorable Mayor Amomori, Ministry in the Ministry of Finance. We have Dr. Clay Masco and Passad. We have a large number of persons within the Ministry of Finance, well-educated fellows. Okay. We have the Central Bank. You are on leave. How come? No, before I get there. How come that I only hear Mr. Gwynne's voice? I heard you on Monday. I'm hearing you now. And I expect to hear you for 2 hours tonight. I want to find out something. Are you part of the cabinet? Do you sit in at cabinet meetings?
So, sir, I sit where I need to sit. By the way, Minister Chad is on today at 2:30 with Alice,
I entered
okay?
that. I asked a question.
Hello. You ask me a question, so you got to allow me to speak. If not, give me 1 week, okay? First of all, Minister Cattle is on with LS at 2:30 p.m. And I believe on another pulse of the people or something, with the LS, pulse, I know Minister Strong is on that too. We are one economic team. We're all doing our part. Okay. They're on various issues. I'm on in different ways. In Barbados today, I saw, Mr. Strong is going to do something later. Okay? So we're all doing our part, my friend. Maybe you have something you guys like to hear my voice, but I have no problem with that either.
No, okay? What I want to find out, you haven't asked the question. Do you sit in at cabinet meetings?
Only if invited. I'm not a minister. Only if I'm invited. If I'm invited to the presentation, I will.
You answer that. Let me move on. Mr. Greenwich.
Yes,
I heard you say, you know nothing about the tax, chief advisor to the government. to the government. I know that they had a cap from 1968 to 2000. But then they had a next little one in there. Thereby.
Sorry, you said, I'm not crossing. Repeat yourself. You said a cap, you say?
A cap in taxes. A tax cap that you see, you know nothing about.
I don't think we discussed anything that today. Chief, okay, we ain't discussing anything. So you're on the wrong program.
I did what I hear this morning from you.
No, I did not say anything. That,
okay, let me explain myself.
Yes, please.
Between 1968 and 2000, this administration worked off 0.5. It was 15 at that time. They worked off all of them. And what is hurtful is that a person go down and buy a fridge and pay $400 or $500 to put in the treasury. And business people hold on, panic, and will not put it in the treasury. And then the government come and wear it off. And you say you know nothing about it.
You finished? Is the call gone? I'm not hearing though.
Sorry, we're going to take a break for the lunch. We're going to hold and come back to him. We kind of lose track of time. Time flies when you're having fun. So just, if y'all want to hear Alvin, please just stay right there. Don't you move. We're coming back with more of The Economy, COVID and Beyond with Dr. Kevin Greenidge as our special guest. This is an association with Williams Industries Incorporated.
You depend on BRC for genuine PermaClad, ColorClad, and PermaSeam steel roofing products. But did you know you can depend on BRC for installation too? That's right. BRC has several experienced roofing teams to handle your roof installation professionally, using tested and proven fasteners and methods with satisfaction guaranteed. When it comes to roofing, there's no substitute for experience, and BRC's crews will give you a great job at a great price. Have your roof installed by the experts. BRC.
Right, so we are ready to resume. I think before we went to the news, we were having a very engaging call. Is that caller still there?
And thank you, Corey.
You're welcome,
and
sir.
Mr. Greenidge. Mr. Greenidge, before I go back to the 15% VAT, I would just like to apologize to you for this, and I hope you take it. Over a year ago, I went after you, you could see it, because you went addressing at Queen's College School on behalf of Mr. Azrins. And I thought, being an advisor from the IMF, I don't think that was right. But today I know hearing that you is on leave, you was never working on behalf of the IMF, I apologize to you for thinking that way, because I don't believe that you should have been campaigning. I call it campaigning. But now that I find out that you're a free agent right now, and maybe a possibility you could be a candidate and be happy to get the next election. Because you don't belong to the IMF, you're on leave, so you could be a candidate in the next election. So I could understand why you're doing what you're doing. Now let's get to the 15% cut that you say you don't know about. I know people that think everybody, and the whole lot on it, putting pressure on the last government to say they're not performing when they're paying in the VAT. And let me say this here directly. I don't understand how a chief advisor don't know about that. And some of the businesses, you could go and check it. Because I went and get someone to check it for me. And if I visually impaired and I get it checked, you could get it checked. Some of the companies that was capped by $25,000, $25 million, still functioning in Barbados today, Mr. Greenidge. How come you know about that, Mr. Greenidge?
All right. So thank you for your comments. No need to apologize. I'm just doing my job. But more importantly, here's the thing. The decision for government to write off a tax has to do with the age of those debt and the probability of collecting it. It's always this. So if, and I don't have data to tell you what happened in 1956 and 68 and 70s and things like that. But if the unannounced, the revenue authority, or the revenue commission, what it was back then, perceive that debt is no longer collectible, then a decision will be made to write it off. And that's the extent, and that's how it's always done as far as I know. Okay? So I really can't speak to specifics in terms of this company and that company, but I know that's how it's done, and that's how it's been done while I'm on board here too. So that's it, my friend. I don't know about any other methodologies and this and that that you are speaking about. As far as from my angle, go ahead.
Is that similar to something I would have learned in Fourth Form, a Fifth Form principle of account, something called bad debt? Is bad debt. Or is it something, a different concept?
No, the same thing as bad debt. So I remember you changed your job, my memory queries that when we first, you know, first here, you remember there was, you know, you 10 years, you go back and you look and see, you talk about VAT, you know, if a company may owe you VAT, and the company that's VAT that owes 10, 12 years, and you know, chance of getting that ownership change, or the company may exist, but maybe on different management, different owners, whatever. And do you have to make a decision? Do you carry it on your books, or do you write it off and move on, or try to find some way? So it's all part of that management that every institution and government does.
If it's bad debt, I think the government just got to call it that. And if it's debt forgiveness, you got to call it that. Because I think the two are different. The thing is, though, one of the thing, and I think this is for a different discussion. I think the signal that it sends every minute when you forgive debt or write off bad debt, it means saying to people, you know what, why pay? I could wait 10 years and they can write it off.
That's why Corey told you that I began to know it, because it's not something that happens all the time. So let's not make it sound like it's something that happens often. It doesn't.
I remember we did a whole analysis
of our debt, maybe for me, who owe and who we owe. And maybe it was done perhaps under that context, but not something that happened every day.
All right, let's take some calls, because this party program goes really quickly, and in 2 tools, the theme will come up and tell us it is time to go and get some Sunday lunch. So before that happens, let's go to the lines. Good afternoon and welcome, Brastack. Sunday, you're on the air. Good afternoon and welcome.
Now, so how are you?
Hi, yes, I'm here. Good man.
Good afternoon to you and your guests. First of all, to ask, don't you think, Mr. Grinnis, that it's time that we stop telling Barbadian people that tourism is our business, and instead tell them that tourism is also one of our businesses, so that people do not believe that this country can only survive by the tourist dollar? And secondly, don't you think that if, from the time we inject all this interest and finance into tourism, bill it, and sacrifice manufacturing and agriculture for tourism. And I've been warning, you might not know this, you might be too young, but I've been warning these people for over 40 years that exactly what happened now can happen. And all of a sudden, they hear everybody talking about getting other industries going and so. You know, we got to ask another question. Do I want to ask this question? We seem to always fooling our people with percentages. Is it not? I listen to American news and England news and French news, all kind of news. You know, I find the only country that always talking, trying to project percentages instead of accurate figures. I mean, you did both just now, which I appreciate. But, you know, I find that when you give somebody a percentage, or increase a percentage, or a loss a percentage, it has, the people do not understand it. If you say that we lost $100 million, we understand that. If you give $100 million, we understand that. Is it not time that we really sit down and analyze this country to make sure that this thing that now happened don't happen again, and really start investing money in bringing the industries and agriculture to a serious level, and demand that the tourist sector use all and everything that is possible in Barbados, instead of pumping all this money outside, bringing all this foreign exchange, and then sending back all the foreign exchange outside to bring things to support tourism, and at the same time, scarcely get 50% of the tourist dollar. What's your opinion, sir?
Hello?
Mr. Grenade.
Yes, sir. Thank you for your comments. What is my opinion in terms of what the focus should be in? As I said from the beginning, I believe, and this is what your government is trying to do, is a diversified our economic basis. Tourism will always be here and will continue to play a large part. Whether you were, every single country in the world has been largely impacted by this COVID and this pandemic. Whether you need the tourism or not, you will still get a lash of similar magnitude. So don't think that if you were into agriculture alone, you will be surviving. Or if you were into something else, everybody get a lash. But in order to build resilience into the economy, I believe, and this is what we are focusing on, build the other sectors continuously as we try to build resilience even within our tourism product by diversifying our offers and products, and also building greater links between manufacturing, agriculture, and tourism, etc. That's how I see it.
To you, the FV will bring along manufacturing and agriculture along with tourism and invest in the same interest in it. Today, this country would not be in the crisis.
Hello. That is incorrect. You cannot say that. Listen to me. Is Trinidad in tourism? And don't they catch the tail just like we? That means the industry and all the manufacturers are catching the tail. Tell me a country that is not into tourism that's doing great. Please, let's be real here.
Mr. Greenwich, please, don't get mixed up.
Let me finish. Here's the thing I'm saying. Let me separate issues. I agree with you, and nobody would disagree with you, that there's a need to continue diversifying our economic bases and strengthening our resilience to the impact that external shocks will have on us. We are on that same page, Chief. What I am saying too is let's not mistake that had we been in some other industry as our main major activity, that we would not be so impacted. We would have been so impacted also. We just have to look at the Trinidad, for example, or any other country and see all parts, because this is not just tourism. It's a worldwide shock that affects supply lines, etc., etc. You got me? So I agree with you. I'm just saying that's in a context.
All right, let's hear you, caller.
No. That's why I say to you, though. You just mentioned Trinidad, so I'm going to put it up quick. I am going to guarantee you or bet you any money that the people in Trinidad cannot be suffering for food and finance like the people in Barbados right now. I bet any money on that because they have agriculture industries that are going and they're doing a hell of a lot of export of products. So they cannot be in our condition. What I am saying to you, Mr. Grins, is this. I never tell you or anyone that we should not have tourism, you know. I am saying that all the furniture that you hear, you will not know who's talking to you mostly. You're too young. But one thing, every hotel in Barbados was furnished by my company. Everyone. The agriculture, and by the way, then other people start opening up. So all the furniture and hotels should be from Barbadian manufacturers. Agriculture products, the guarantee, used to buy from the manufacturers. All of a sudden, we are taking the same tourist dollar, bringing it here, and then sending all back to buy produce, furniture, and so to support the tourist sector. And I said it's wrong. The tourist sector should be buying every and all that they can get in Barbados from Barbados first. That's the point I'm trying to make. I never said that we should have tourism. But no word, tell me about St. Lucia could live better than Barbados with being on agriculture. Trinidad and Guyana and all these places can eat, live, get food every day. Now, we get food once with blessed soldiers and the blessed police move around with these big packages over 60,000. You imagine carrying food to 60,000 homes in Barbados. You know what I'm saying? That we have a crisis where a lot of people are way below the poverty line, and yet still all the money is being pumped into tourism. That's the point I'm making. I'm saying we shouldn't have tourism. I was glad to furnish hotels and restaurants like I used to before. But no, they don't do that. No, they bring everything. And that's the point I'm making. We want to balance the two.